Well, and I talked about this too last hour. We go back to the men's basketball tournament. Sometimes you've got the best team during the regular season ends up winning a national championship. Sometimes it's just the hottest team, a team playing its best ball. The College World Series, when you look at the eight teams that will be there, you've got storylines on both sides. First, like a Vanderbilt situation, a number two overall national seed that has been playing great baseball the entire year. And then you get the Cinderella stories, teams that are playing with emotions. Florida State on the left side of the bracket, knowing that Mike Martin is coaching his final season, 40 years as head coach of Florida State, most wins ever by a college baseball coach. And, this will be the 17th appearance in the College World Series. We are talking about runners-up as far as the national title, but yet he's never been able to get the final jewel. And so you get that. You got an Auburn team, which you'll relate to this. They're playing with all that emotions and still playing with the emotions in honor of the late Rob Bramlett, the voice of the Auburn Tigers, who passed away during the weekend of the SEC baseball tournament.
Yeah, both stories, I think are, kind of why sports is so interesting, because there's always a story behind teams that tend to make runs. And for Auburn, obviously, it's a tragic story, but one with Rod Bramblett, who, his baby was baseball. And so there's that aspect to it. The Mike Martin thing, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Going to Omaha when they weren't supposed to. It's just a great way to top off a career, even if they don't do anything in Omaha and go two and out. But that's what makes those two sports, basketball and baseball, different from football. Football has to be scarce just by the nature of how the sport operates. So the best team has to be the best team throughout the course of the season. Yes, teams improve throughout the course of the season. But, some of that stuff early in the season has to count against them. Baseball is a little different. It's an individual sport, mixed into a team sport. Basketball is all team sports. And since both of those sports have, a plethora of young guys and time to come and work together and come together, that's what makes those postseasons work, is the fact that, you have more time and more structure to have teams that are not necessarily coming out of the gate hot figure themselves out and have that define who the best team in the country is. And that's why, I think baseball, with four teams from the SEC going, I think that is what has really happened with the SEC. The recruiting has become so hot and heavy, and you've gotten so many players who could have gone pro out of high school, figuring out that college is a better, better career route unless you're a first or second round draft pick. So you've got a whole bunch of new talent coming in, a lot like basketball, new faces that are ultra talented, like Rocker for Vanderbilt the other night. So sometimes it takes time for those guys, to have it click. Sometimes it takes a while for the coaching staff to figure out what works and what doesn't. And that's why I think in the SEC, you look at a team like Auburn, which was just sort of okay prior to all of this, they figured themselves out and now are going to Omaha as a result.
It's interesting. We think about basketball, even baseball, being tournament-type sports to determine champions. You look at high school, you look at the college ranks. Even if you want to look at Major League Baseball, it's still a playoff tournament type of situation to advance to be the last team standing. And we look at football, we get that in high school. We get that at the NFL level. But for some reason, I'm okay that we have if you're one of the four teams, two wins and you're a national champion, I'm okay with the four-team playoff, because the bottom line is I have a pretty good idea. You can make the argument for that last team that didn't make it in. But throughout the course of a season, my eyes kind of tell me the four best teams that are out there that have a chance to compete for a national title.
Yeah, they are, and I'm fine with it too, because in football, I actually don't like the NFL because of its playoff system. I don't really watch a ton of NFL football until the college season's over with. I'm probably in the minority, and that's fine. But, I like the fact that every game matters in college football, and getting hot at the right time doesn't determine a national champion, or really can't determine a national champion, because it would take away from the regular season. And this idea that, you know, if you had an expanded playoff, it wouldn't diminish the regular season, that's ridiculous. You know, the beauty of college football is you've got a bunch of college-age kids playing a game that is beautifully dysfunctional. You don't know in week two, like take Ohio State, Virginia Tech in 14 for an example, you know, Ohio State lost and the Big Ten's done. Well, that turned out not to be the case, and the uncertainty of what things mean is what makes the regular season so great in college football, because every game, whether it's the Washington-Auburn game, which didn't turn out to be that big of a deal last year, but at the time we thought it was huge for a team like Auburn. You know, or you know, an Alabama-Texas A&M when Manziel was there, or the time they had lost to Ole Miss twice. You know, you don't know the ramifications of that. You don't know, you know, what the outcome will be, as opposed to get into sports with structure where you still sort of have it laid out in front of you. And because of that, you know, we're all sort of living on edge, you know, every time, you know, there's a big upset in college football or a big play or a big whatever, because, you know, it does sort itself out, and there's no way to dictate or determine how it will sort itself out throughout the course of the 13, 14 weeks, depending on the calendar. And that's what makes the sport great. The uncertainty drives the sport, and it doesn't take away and diminish from it.
Barrett Salee joining us again. All right, I'm curious to see how you respond to this, because I've never been one of those individuals that sees a individual performance or a team performance and go, oh, that's the best ever. And the reason I bring it up is because Saturday night. Now, when you look at the moment, when you look at what happened early in the ball game, when you look at what was on the table, Kumar Rocker, you threw his name out earlier. The fact that, you know, we're talking about only the eighth no-hitter in NCAA tournament history, that's important. The fact that here's a Vanderbilt team, second overall national seed, has up to that point an outstanding season, but they were facing elimination without a solid performance. And then you, in the very second, the second batter that Kumar Rocker faces, here's a freshman. Second batter he faces, he hits. And he doesn't just hit him. It's not like he hit him in the leg or in his rear or something like that. Ball gets away. He hits him in the head, in his face. A lot of pitchers, major league level, you name it, would get rattled in that situation. How did he respond? 19 strikeouts, no hitter, and that stretch from the third inning through the seventh inning where he gets 15 outs, 13 of the 15 were strikeouts. It keeps alive Vanderbilt's season. I don't know how you rank it, and I don't really want to say it's the best performance ever because I think that's ridiculous, but it's certainly one of the best ever in that situation.
Yeah, no doubt. It was for that to happen with a freshman, albeit a really highly touted and very successful freshman pitcher, to be in that spot and not only to come up big, but to come up that big in an elimination game for a team that really, you know, does it, the gratitude and the relief of winning probably is overshadowed by the fear of losing, considering, you know, how successful Vanderbilt has been. That's storybook stuff right there, man. And I don't like to say best ever, things like that, but that's one of those performances and one of those situations where, with everything on the line, now granted, it's not, you know, the peak scale of that sport, but with so much on the line, to have somebody like that come up so big at the right time in a way that really is not comparable to anything we've ever seen before. That's what it's all about. And, you know, if you're Rocker, I think that, you know, his attitude after that game and the post game interview, I think said it all, where he basically said, yeah, you know, this is great, but, won't matter tomorrow night, if we don't take care of business. And, that I think it shows a guy and a coach, a player and a coach who understand how, you know, this type of situation in this sport operates, that you are going to be in a situation where, yeah, let's have fun with this no hitter for like 5 seconds, but, you know, it's still time to move on. And you know, that I think is part of what made it great. The fact that you didn't have this massive celebration for Vanderbilt, because they felt like they expected a great performance and they got the best performance maybe in college baseball this year. but at the same time knew that there's still plenty of work to do.
I mean, the situation, too, if you want to really add a few extra logs in the fire, it wasn't like Vanderbilt did like they did yesterday where they exploded early with a lot of runs. You know, there was no score going into the fifth. Vanderbilt gets one run. So it's 1-0 going to the top of the eighth inning. And because of the way the Super Regional works, Vanderbilt was, you know, batting first. So they do add a couple of runs in the top of the eighth. But up to that point, we're talking about where, you know, every pitch is important. You know, you're one pitch away from Duke tying the game, for example, and that just adds even more as far as what just an outstanding performance. But he wasn't thinking no-hitter. He was thinking about one thing only: find a way to get the win so Vanderbilt can live for another day.
Yeah, and that, I think, is what makes it great, man. That's what sports is all about. You know, you have guys who sort of get lost in the moment, and yeah, I mean, I've talked to a lot of folks who have been in similar situations where they don't really know the situation. They're so, you know, laser focused on what the job is right in front of them. And you know, I'm not sure if he knew that he was throwing a no hitter. He probably did, but to be able to put that in the back of your mind in that situation is the mark of a true champion. Like, that's really, really hard to do. But players who can end up being great, and clearly he's got a bright future ahead of him. Could have been drafted, obviously, out of high school, chose to go to Vanderbilt, and yeah, I think we've seen in years past that not only has that helped Vanderbilt be successful as a program, you know, with guys like David Price and Dansby Swanson and people like that going through, but it also, I think, for you know, people who are, you know, potentially high draft picks out of high school, I think a lot of them are understanding now that going to college is still putting you on a fast track to the majors. You're just doing it in a little bit of a different way.
You know, Barrett, we see this often in sports where something happens in one sport and all the other sports pay attention, and they, you know, some coaches utilize those moments to help their own squads, for example. And, you know, you go back to Johnny Manziel. He was more than just a player that, you know, other college teams, other coaches paid attention to. He transcended things, you know, to the NFL, to Major League Baseball, the NBA. And Kumo Rocker's performance, that was one of those things that I really truly believe his performance on Saturday, there'll be other coaches from other sports talking about that and helping their own teams in certain situations, because immediately when it happened, you could see how it was exploding on social media and everywhere, and not just the, you know, the folks attached to college athletics, but also from the other sports as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's life's full of teachable moments, and you don't have to. Sometimes you have to, if you're a coach or a player, you have to dig deep to find a comparable situation. But how many teams get in situations where it's do or die? I mean, it happens all the time, and that was do or die. And for him to come up that big, I think it. You know, a lot of coaches will use that with younger players to say, "Hey, look, you're in a big situation. You know, look what this kid did. You know, this is what you have to do. This is the path you have to go about." Doing this. And so, yeah, it'll be taught. There's no doubt when those kind of situations, those high profile games, undoubtedly get used regardless of level, regardless of sport, to help people focus. And I think, you know, he set an example that will be used for a very long time, because that game's not going to be forgotten for a very long time.
All right. I know we have plenty of time during these last moments of spring before we get to the summer months, before we really start breaking down the 2019 college football season. Couple of teams, new quarterback situations, and I'm interested to see if there'll be a carryover effect. First with Missouri, loved watching Drew Locke during his career. In fact, there was parts of me was hoping that the Titans would actually select him. I would have loved to have seen him in a Tennessee Titans uniform for down the road. But bringing that up, you've got Clemson transfer Kelly Bryant with Missouri. And another team that I'll be interested in talking about, and I know that everybody loved pulling against them. A lot of folks were pulling for them to lose to LSU. But you've got Central Florida. So Central Florida and Missouri, two teams that could break into the top 25 this year. Central Florida has the, you know, the transfer as far as from Notre Dame. And I'm interested to see if he will have any type of carryover effect and transfer Brandon Wimbush.
Yeah, I'd love to see what Brandon Wimbush does as a passer, because, you know, downfield, he was not that at Notre Dame. You know, he was a runner, he was an efficient passer, and UCF, whether it be with Frost or now Heupel, they do like to stretch the field deep, and I'm not sure Wimbush will do that, but then again, at a lower level of competition, maybe those windows are a little bit wider, especially with athletes like Central Florida has, because, you know, we all joke at UCF, and rightfully so, but they still have recruited very, very well for an AAC school. So, you know, I'm fascinated to see what he does. But then Kelly Bryant, I've always been skeptical of what to make of Kelly Bryant at Missouri. He doesn't fit what they want to do. They want to stretch the field deep, and that was his weakness and why he lost the job at Clemson. And they'll run, do some quarterback run stuff. They didn't do that much of it with Drew Locke. They will certainly with Kelly Bryant. But I don't know how he's going to fit into that offense, because he's not Drew Locke. That's not his strength. And improving it, like he probably will with Derek Dooley, that'll help to a point, but I don't know how consistent he can be through the air, because he's done nothing to prove that he can be the kind of guy that Missouri needs to win at an extremely high level. I hope he does, because I'd love to see guys who, you know, address their flaws and fix them and become successful, but I don't know if that's going to happen with him at Missouri.
Well, Missouri does have one of the better offensive lines in the SEC, and it might be a situation where they use the run to set up the passing game.
They might, and if they do that, then that will certainly help. But that's what Clemson did, right? Like, that's what Clemson did in a bad ACC, and then they got exposed in the title or in the semifinal that year. Going against the SEC, every single week, I don't know if Kelly Bryant's capable of doing that. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what Kelly was successful with at Clemson, but the schedule's much tougher, and I think the book being out on him, which it clearly is going to be difficult for him to overcome too. So I'm fascinated to see it. I don't know if that's going to work out all that well.
All right, and since we know that you, myself, huge Braves fans, I'll have to end with a Braves question. How about the fact, I go back to end of May, and I was thinking, you know, in September or end of August, you know, the Braves are going to regret losing that game in San Francisco back in May, where they were up 3-1, rather, going to the bottom of the ninth, and they blew it. And then we get yesterday. You know, the Braves win the first two games of that series against the Marlins, down 5-1, top of the ninth. Four runs, including a three-run home run by Acuña. They win in extra innings in the 12th inning, sweeping the Marlins. So, to me, yesterday certainly more than made up for what happened in the month of May.
Well, yeah, and that game is a lot like that. I mean, you're going to win games you're supposed to lose, and you're going to lose games you're supposed to win. Like, that's just how things go, and that's why I always say, especially early in the season when Braves Twitter freak out about everything, like, don't treat baseball like football. It's a game of failure. You're going to fail a lot. There are going to be a lot of times where you're angry. There are going to be a lot of times where you're laughing your tail off because you stole something too. And the Braves stole a game last night or yesterday afternoon. So, I'm fine with it. I mean, they're one game out of first place. I think they're 16-7 or something over a long stretch. So something like that. And so, I mean, look, they're fine. That Dallas Keuchel is going to be awesome. And who knows, maybe Gausman, hopefully this is his last start, but hopefully Gausman is effective out of the bullpen, and he might, because, you know, it's hard to be a two-pitch pitcher as a starter, but it's a lot easier to be a two-pitch pitcher as a reliever. And so, I'm fine with it. I wasn't necessarily ever down on the Braves. I think they had some issues that need to be addressed. Clearly they've addressed quite a few of them, both internally and externally, And they'll be fine. There's nothing to suggest that team will go away. Yeah, there'll be problems, but that's true of every team.